Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see everybody here. We want to get, how many of you were here last week to hear Ron first? Okay. And how many of you are planning on hearing Ron second today? Okay. You're all here. It's great because he really has an understanding of how to minister to the Jewish people. He's a representative of the CMJ organization, and the Lord has used him and those like him to reach out to to the Jewish community. And so we want to hear more about it. So I'd just like to commit this time to the Lord in prayer. Let the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
We do thank you, Lord, that you are the God who draws people to yourself. And we thank you for the way that you're drawing the Jewish people to yourself, O Lord, and for Jesus. Your servant, Ron First, who you are using to shine a light in the Jewish community. May his light, your light in him, continue to shine brightly. Be with us now, we pray.
Bless you, Jesus.
Give us your truth. Reveal
Hallelujah.
To us things that maybe we haven't known before.
Hallelujah.
Help us more and more to have a heart for the Jewish people. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Father Bill. Bless you. We have a little commonality there I just learned from Father Bill. Also, in El Paso for many years. You got there in 81, and I got there in 80, and we weren't too far from each other, right up the street from Alabama, right?
Yep.
I was near Fort Bliss, Beaumont, and Clements was down, kind of downtown, right?
All over.
All over.
Shalom.
How are you all? How are you all doing?
Yes.
Now, I saw that there were some people here last week, but I noticed also that there are new people here this week. So let me reintroduce myself in brief and let you know that I have a lot of information today I'm excited about. And as I look in the crowd here, take a look around. Take a look around and take a look at the median or the average age here. What do you notice? Well, we're mature. Very, very interesting dynamic because wherever I go, wherever I speak, even if I look at my congregation, it seems the people that are involved in evangelism typically are more mature. There's a big gap. The young ones are doing it, but there's a big gap in between. I guess we call that the millennial age. So the Lord has incredible opportunities for those that are our age and around our age. And if we don't do it, who's going to do it? As Paul said in Romans 10. So before I introduce myself, I just want you to know that I am with CMJ Ministries. I'm the Southwest coordinator, and I have my incredible team here. CMJ Hill Country, could you raise your hands? CMJ stands for Churches Ministry among the Jewish people. Churches Ministry. We'll talk more about the Jewish Gentile in the opportunity that we have. But I don't want you to leave without picking up some materials about. And when I was professional musician, the piano, during the summertime, and the watering. When I came to Christ in 1984, that I was lost. I was living the life of Robert. I was a musician, I was a school teacher, I was a planner, I was a principal, and I was looking for love in all the wrong places. But in July 4, I came to know Yeshua in the Poconos on a performing job as a musician. So what I've learned 5 years ago, when the Lord called me, Bible Church to teach a series on the Hebrew feasts, and all of a sudden the Lord started bringing back all my past to deep study about the feast, and I got hooked. The Lord showed me. Ron, come to the realization that you can catch more fish from the marketplace than you can from the full set. You know that? I'm in the insurance business, the financial services. My passion is always about ministry. But I speak to so many people today, I meet so many people today. Sunday. What am I going to share with you? I'm going to share about me. You have a tremendous opportunity. And when you have a biblical worldview, the most quintessential part that you need to understand is that God has you in a certain industry. He has you retired for a certain home from college, they're about church, but she'll be here on Sunday. She actually proving and her bloodline. I'm going to talk about the genetics. A Jew really is today. She's from Peru, but her bloodline is actually Lebanese. So isn't that interesting that someone has her blood, right? Married to someone with Jewish blood. How we can not just coexist, but love each other. And what the Lord can do. Amen. So why am I here today? Yeah, it's because of you. Righteous Gentile believers like you are the predominant means and the vehicle that the Lord uses to evangelize Jewish people coming to Yeshua in this present age. Last week, I read Paul's anguish over Israel. I want to share it again to you. A major writer of the New Testament wrote, "I speak the truth. I am not lying in my conscience through the Holy Spirit. I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart, for I could wish that I myself were cursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my people, those of my own race, Israel. There is the sonship. There is the Lord of the covenants, receiving the law, the temple worship, there is a patriarch who demonstrates the human ancestry of Jesus, who is God over all, forever. Praise. Amen. Amen. And then we learned last week, Paul wrote later in Romans 10, 13 through 15, how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? Who's they? Whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. So it's about you. How many people here know any Jewish people in your community? Or know anyone that's Jewish? Raise your hand. They are on a prayer list. Are you actively praying for them? Come see me and Jean. Jean is our secretary of our ministry, and she will record those names, and we will advocate. We will pray for them without ceasing. We pray often. So please come see Jean or myself. So, what's our objective today? Again, to be participated with the Gentile Couples Ministry, because this pleases God. Chapters 1 and 2, 12 chapters in this book. We're going to go through chapters a week. Very interesting. And we're also going to take a look at the great men and women of faith that were not Jewish, both the old and new. So, we learned that currently 63% of American Jewish people were disaffiliated from any Jewish institution. Jews were living in synagogues and are living since God drove. The birth rate dropped to 1.8. And in a 2013 survey conducted in the United States by the Pew Research Center on religion and life, they found the intermarried rate of Jews 50%, 71% among non-Orthodox Jews. That is huge. Orthodox. cognizant of what the Lord is doing. You know, we have opportunities to share the gospel with them. So we found the top five challenges Jewish couples face today are confusion over identity, tensions over religious differences that exist in the couple, disagreements over lifestyle celebrations, cycle celebrations, challenges to family harmony, and the discord of how to raise the children. It would be a surprise that the diverse rate among is twice that of actually more than four divorces, two times the amount. That's significant. Maybe, again, it translates to opportunities for us for no country. Last week, we had a woman of great faith. Remember the New Testament? Remember? The Syrophoenician woman. Talked about last week. Oh, who was here last week? I'm going to have to stop calling on people in the front. I know that. Well, I'm glad we're reviewing. We looked at the Syrophoenician woman, Canaanite woman, and had great faith. Yeshua's attention. Remember the story? She had a daughter that was demonized, and the Lord was in her midst, and she came to him and said, please heal my daughter. And the Lord said, and then she said, even the dogs eat. And we know that he spoke about this last week. The Lord calling her a dog? Of course not. Out of context. We know there are two different words for dogs that were used in the New Testament. Kion, which was meant derogatorily. We've seen that throughout the New Testament. But also we saw the term kuyon, which is a little puppy, a little dog. And he was using that term. So the Lord, she meant a lot to the Lord. So what did the Lord do? Hear her. What an incredible testimony to the Jewish people that were watching. We also learned that the Old Testament Saint Caleb, was he Jewish? Caleb was not Jewish. And if you weren't here last week, you were saying, heretic! Him and Joshua, the two faithful Jews. Spies, no. It was a Kenizzite. Joshua was Jewish, actually half Jewish, or maybe three quarters Jewish. His great 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 grandmother was Egyptian, right? He represented the tribe of Ephraim. So the Lord used as a way of prophesying that was always about the Jew and Gentile, about faith, how they would work together. So the two spies that came back for both Jew and Gentile. Isn't that exciting? And by the way, I didn't mention this last week. You know what Caleb means in Hebrew? It means dog. Would the Lord use God to his faithful assistant in a derogatory way? He chose Caleb, who represented the tribe of Judah, where Yeshua came from, right? Way of saying, I am no respecter of man. It's always about the heart, about faith. So today, we're up to present now. We're going to learn about another great Gentile, the faith. And that person is found in the book of Luke, chapter 7, verse 7. We're talking about the centurion. You remember him? Learn a lot about the centurion. Here's what it says about him. When Jesus had finished saying all of the people were listening, he entered Capernaum. And we're in Luke 7, verse 1. There's a centurion servant whom his master valued highly. I'll give you a chance to get there. Okay, start again. So when Jesus had finished saying all of these to the people, listening, he entered Capernaum. There, a centurion servant whom his master was sick about to die. The centurion heard of Jesus and sent some elders to the Jews to him, asking him to come and heal the servant. He learned that the centurion is a very compassionate man. He cares about his underlings or his servants. So, the centurion heard of Jesus and sent some elders to him, asking him to come and heal the servant. Was the Lord a rabbi, a man of God, going to a Gentile home? Not permitted. When they came to Jesus, they pleaded earnestly with him. This man deserves to have to do this because he loves our nation and has even built a synagogue for us. Wow. Jesus was with them. He was not far from the house of the center. Say to him, Lord, don't trouble yourself, for I do not deserve to come to my room. I did not even consider myself worthy to come to you. He's being gracious. He's not supposed to go to the Jesus, right? On the roof. But say the word, and the servant will be healed. For I myself am a man of my room. Soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes. And that one, come, and he comes. I tell the servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him and turned to the crowd following him. He said, I tell you, I have found such great faith, even Israel. Then the man who had been sent returned to the house and found the servant well. Wow. This is a Gentile who has the Lord's attention. We can learn much from this interview. One, he had great power. Soldiers were more typically they were under the control. He was compassionate and had value to serve it. The elders of the Jews despised Yeshua. These are elders that are being conduit here. Yeshua obliged the request by heading towards the servant's house where the servant was located. Their rationale to convince Yeshua to come to the servant's house was obvious. This Gentile commander loved the Jewish nation, loved Jewish people. To the extent he built a synagogue in their hometown, Yeshua was taken to the centurion's and expect that a rabbi did not enter Gentile. Wow. So again, this commander loved the Jewish nation. So, you love the Jewish nation. How many have been to Israel? I'd love to go there. I would love to go back. I was in D.C. before I passed. Well, how much so? We witnessed. We lived in Jewish Gentilism. It's too late. The question is, how can I help? Many brothers and sisters in Christ are not Jewish. They have always fear, but they feel they're not equipped to really share with the Jewish people. Let me share something with you. Most Jewish people are not the ones you see in Israel at the wall. I already told you the intermarriage rate is in excess of 70%. Most Jewish people in the United States are not religious. We know so much more about Scripture, old and new, than they do. Charlie and Cecil Flores, who planted the city back in in El Paso in my life. The reason why I came to Christ is because I was blessed by how much they knew about the Bible, the Old Testament, and also the New. And I went to Hebrew school. I was committed to it. They knew so much more. They provoked me zealously. I didn't necessarily want to have and get back into this Torah and Scripture, but they had a confidence about them that I really, really admired and I wanted. And then when I met John and friends at Pirelli in the Pocono Mountains on the job I was playing on as a musician, I also saw a confidence I wanted also. So, this book, he said, she said, interesting. We took a look at that Canaanite woman. She said something and the Lord returned, right? Interesting play there. She said, he said. Okay, so we're going to go through this because it gives you tools, practical tools to understand how you can take this to a Jewish Gentile couple. And why we use Gentile couples, most Jews have been married. It's going to be very rare that you see a Hasidic or cultural person shopping at age, right? Although, if you went to San Antonio, there is one HBC there in the heart of the Jewish community that they sell many kosher products. And it's a thank God, they never know if you can bump into a shopping there, right? Of course, it all starts with the heart. You have to want to do that. And if you pray, you're noticing as a team that you pray for the Lord to bring Jewish Gentile couples into trouble. Guess what happens? Yeah, it's just God's will for all people. He desires that they should perish, right? We saw how Paul felt about the Jewish people. So you pray for opportunities. Promise you, he will send those opportunities. So, chapters 1 and 2 talks about a single word that you read, spoken by a Jew or a Gentile, but such an entirely remember last week we spoke about the dog, the Jewish Gentile couple? The man who was kept outside by the Gentile member, the spouse, right? The other one was a Jewish gal from Better Wells, her name was Princess, right? And who slept in bed with her. That word dog connotated something so different for both the Gentile and the Jewish. So we're going to discuss basic vocabulary words and how it can be interpreted for Gentile couples. We are not church's mission amongst the Jewish people. Okay? We are church's ministry. We want to develop relationships with these Jewish Gentile couples that they may want to put in our path. And perhaps he's training us now because he has someone for you to meet. That exciting? Okay. So our goal is not to evangelize. It is ultimately, but penultimately, to minister to the commonality is reached. So, we have to talk about ethnicity versus culture. What's unusual about this statement for a person? I can never become a Christian. Anything? Take that out of Jewish. They could be traced all the way back to Abraham. Social structures, core attitudes or beliefs. Culture is determined. Genetics is not. But although ethnicity and culture are often interchangeable, two are related. So a good test is, can you change ethnicity? Can you change culture? So that's why Tuvia in this book, he's the author of the book Tuvia. Did any of you all hear him about a couple of years ago? He was here. Hopefully we'll have him back. That's why he suggests that change can be seen as threat. So when you're speaking to a Jewish person, you want to share this with them, right? But remember, all of a sudden, they're thinking, Christian, I'll be born a Jew, and I'm going to die a Jew. There's no way to change me. Some people change because culture can and does change, and religion is a cultural component. So now that we have ethnicity and culture aspects, there's a key category that we need to be cognizant of. How is you know the Lord, the word religion, and as Gentile, view that word? The system of beliefs and worship, right? Correct? Okay. Since science has identified a religion gene per se, either bloodline, DNA, is still an aspect of the culture. I love the story of Jesus. I love the story of Joseph, born and raised a Jew, and then taken and came Gentile. And I mentioned one of the faithful wives, whose mother. His mother. Remember Manasseh, Ephraim in Scripture? Joseph's two children. That's the older one. It was the other one. And the other one was an Egyptian. Very interesting. I guess then when Joseph revealed himself to the children of Israel, remember they got a lot of people screaming, he couldn't get them where he could. He had to reveal who he was. He looked like a Gentile, had his eyes probably painted, where it wasn't where a Jewish army was, Egyptian army. And he identified himself. How about Jewish, being Jewish, just the word Jewish? Right? If you saw Ron first, I was going to Calvary Chapel, and I was fellowshipping for 15, 18 years in Gentile expression. Right? People can see me as Jewish. But if I came to Christ or came to learn You know, I thought that all today, that could be further from the truth.
In Africa, everybody believed that they were Christians.
Did you see that little African
visit? Yeah, if they weren't Muslim, they would have been wrong.
Wow. That's epic. That would not take too long. Christians, Messiah, right? How about the word interfaith? What does that do? Interfaith. A secular Jewish Gentile couple is accurately described as interfaith, since neither partner holds to a religious commitment, right? Interfaith. How about marriage? That's where we get the term Gentile, which I will be talking about and we will be looking at in this book. There's 12 chapters, two a week. So what are the ramifications of this from your perspective as potential sharers of gospel, Jewish Gentile couples that bring into your life? How many believe that God can do that? No. It's all over this. It's the same thing. We've had so many conversations. Your church is being here speaking at adult Sunday school. That's a unique thing. Now it's doing this. Father Chuck has a vision. Jay has a vision. We believe that there's going to be so many Jewish Gentiles moving in this area. We want to be poised and ready. Amen? So ramifications are we can stir up Christian and we forget that couples have very different understanding of key words. Or if we don't realize how some of these words speak to the issues of identity. We just mentioned about eight of them. Through the meanings of these bring congruence to both the Jewish Gentile person create cross-cultural opportunity and adventure. We must be sensitive to the terminology that Jewish Gentile couples have if we're going to have any successful ministry. We must invest in becoming a translator for them. As we practice the differences between the ethnic and cultural differences. Next Sunday, we're going to look at biblical concepts of comparison, as well as learning how to deal with actual first encounters with Jewish Gentile people. You're going to meet, right? You're going to meet. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we bless you. We praise you. Soul to see his truth today. What an incredible opportunity you presented us, Christ our King, Lord. To pray these couples, pray these people into our life, into our community, Father. For you said in your word that you desire that nothing perish, Lord. And you also said, Father, that if we don't share the gospel, how will they know? Paul wrote in Romans 10, Lord. Father, bring those opportunities to us, Lord. Help us to be fishers of men, Lord. Heart's desire, your imminent return is so near, Lord. We say, Maranatha, Lord, they would be kind, they would be unfaithful, diligently doing your work, Lord. this congregation, Father, this kingdom on the hill, Father. May they be salt and light to the Jewish Gentile couples that are faltering, Lord, that have no anger, Lord. Bless them, and I pray, Father, you would bring opportunities to every single person here that is sitting and listening to this teaching, Lord. Let us go out with joy, be led forth with peace, with praise, Lord, as we come to worship you now. We love you, we bless you, in Yeshua's name, amen and amen. Please take seats, especially the one about your church here. The nation, and if you want to sign up for the newsletter, please do that. Everything's free. And if you want to have someone that you want to